This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information.
Hello there, shower door professionals. ShowerDoorProfessionals.com. Gotta check it out, man. It's what's happening now. Elevating the industry is what we're doing.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, you know, we just get together, show up, just, you know, talk about shower door stuff, and without even really trying, things start to happen, you know, because we're putting out some good vibes, some good energy, some good shower door energy into the world out there. And before you know it, incredible things are happening. Things just start kind of sprouting up, you know? And the whole industry is elevated because of that. Everybody benefits. We as shower door pros benefit because we start, you know, sharing information, start asking questions. Sometimes a question is like the best thing you can bring to a situation, especially if you're good at asking those questions, because you ask the questions and then we feel like we need to answer the question. And pretty soon we're researching, we're digging, we're looking around, we're asking our friends, and it creates momentum, right? Things start to move, things start to buzz. And we start coming up with answers for things that we didn't even know we had questions for. And then all of a sudden you're asking brand new questions that you know, didn't even think you had. And we benefit as business owners. We benefit as shower door installers. Our vendors benefit because they get new ideas, right, for new products to create. And they sell more stuff, and we help them with that. We help them sell more stuff. The customers benefit. They're getting better shower doors, better shower enclosures, higher quality. Cause we're coming out there. We've got a plan, and you know, we don't just do the same old lame thing that we always did. We get new ideas. We say, hey, what about this? Try this. It's really amazing what can happen when you get some people together. And it all starts just, you know, with a call like this. Blows my mind. So, you know, we were just starting to talk. Adrian started speaking of questions. Adrian came up with a question about, you know, how we bid, how we price projects, bigger projects, you know? So you've got a great big house, like 10 bathrooms in it, and they want 10 shower doors. How do you price that? You know, do you give them a break on the price? I'm sure we probably all do it a little bit different. You know, I try to think about whenever I price, when I'm thinking about how to price something, I try to think of all different situations and aspects. You know, is it just a single shower door that's on the very edge of my service area? Maybe I'm going to have to drive an hour out just to take a measurement and drive an hour back from there just, you know, for that initial visit. And then I'm going to have to send a couple guys back out there an hour and an hour back just to do one shower. How am I going to price that so that I can, I mean, make some profit on it, right? So that's like kind of the worst case scenario. Then I might be sending someone right down the street to do three shower doors. I can't change the price for every situation, right? I've got to kind of figure that all out and kind of average it out. Where, you know, some jobs I might not make much money, you know, some jobs I might really make a killing. but we've got to average it out. That's just kind of my take on it. What do you guys got some thoughts? I'll be right here.
Chris, I think you have to look at every job. I mean, at least I do, to make a profit. And that one you want to go out an hour and an hour back, that price, in my opinion, is going to be a hell of a lot different than that price right down the street. I think if you, I'm not saying you do, but I think at some point, if you neglect travel time, gas mileage, just the potential for what could go wrong, the fact that they're not being as productive, all that has to factor into that hour away job. That's definitely going to be a different price than the job that's 20 minutes away.
So how do you do that? I mean, what's the nuts and bolts method of like making that decision?
Well, I tell you what I've done. I have a couple different price levels. If it's somebody who's given me a lot of business, you know, might be a better price level. They're a consistent customer versus the one-off. So I have one that it's an in-between. So three different price levels. But I price a job that, say, it's right across the parking lot from me. I said, okay, that's this price level. However, if it's an hour away or whatever the distance is, if it's, you know, if it's 75 miles I'm driving, okay, I got to factor in drive time, I kind of add that on to the price. It's not just price level one, two, or three. I definitely take into account how far away is it, maybe even a complexity of the job. Am I grinding out, you know, a monolithic cap, a cap, taking more risk on for something like that? So there's several things. I start out with a basic one, two, or three price level and then add on if I need to, based on complexity or distance or things like that. Do I got to carry it up four, three floors? Seems to have worked for me so far.
What about the rest of you guys? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
What do you guys do, Bill? Like when you have a big project with multiple shower doors, and I got mirrors too, so I got to take that into account as well. So I don't know if you guys do mirrors, but yeah.
No, we don't do any mirrors at all.
I got a bid one mirror that's 158 inches by 84. I don't know how the heck I'm gonna do that. So I got to figure that out.
Well, make sure you charge good for it because nobody else wants to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I am. It's $4,000.
I mean,
they're going to pay for it.
The way I look at it, you're dealing with a guillotine.
No kidding.
You know?
Yeah.
So they need a professional. I wouldn't discount that one bit. I'd be adding surcharges on for that. You got to transport it. One little nick and they want you to take it out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, happens all the time in mirrors. That's one of the reasons why we're not doing them.
Oh.
So they're magnified. But as far as, I mean, what Mike is saying is so true. Chris, you were talking about one house with 10 doors. Great example. We just had it last week. We sent three crews out so we can knock out all 10 doors. And the painters showed up and nobody could get access. And I lost a whole day with three crews. And we had to scramble to fill in their schedule. So if you discounted that job, you really lost your shirt. You discounted it, and then the painter showed up, and
you don't have a policy to call before it goes.
We do. The painter showed up, and the builder didn't send them away. They showed up before the contractor or the general contractor showed up on the job. They already started spraying. Never should have scheduled the door that early, but you know that's what they did. It's a big project job. I mean, we had another big project job, and I know it was during the COVID time and the prices were going stupid. And we put in six units, and then the owner didn't like the tile. So now they wanted us to take out the doors and reinstall them. And of course, the tile dimensions didn't fit. And now they're giving us a huff because we have to order new glass, and they're all pissed off. Plus, they want it in 2 days. Like we've got a schedule that we've got to fill. What am I going to do? Bump everybody else that followed the rules and did everything on time? So I don't know. It seems like every time you go to discount it, you get burned on those.
Yeah.
It just happens. It's, you know, they don't intend it to happen. It just happens. We try and get to the point where the price is the price. I don't discount it. I'm hoping that you trust and value our work, our product enough to justify you want us to work there. And the price is fair. We're not going to gouge you, but I'm not discounting either.
When you when people ask for discounts, do you guys still give your full warranty? Because I'm starting to do a full lifetime warranty on mine, but I'm not off. If people want a discount, I'm not giving them that option for a lifetime. And so it's like, you want a discount or you want a price? Because I'm starting to raise my prices up a little more higher to balance what my clientele, what I want it to be. Do you guys do that as well? Like on your discounts? I mean, you want a discount, I'll give them a discount, but you're not going to get the lifetime. You'll still get a 1 year workmanship warranty and whatever warranties that the hardware suppliers will give me. But besides that, that's all you're going to get.
Yeah. I stay away from that. I mean, we have a really good warranty program, and, you know, we'll bend over backwards to help people, even if they're beyond their 1 year warranty. Mm-hmm. But I'm always afraid of doing this lifetime thing. I am just reasonable, because you'll start getting people with unreasonable things and say, oh, you have a white lifetime warranty. So I've just kind of stayed away from that, because you always end up getting an argument over it. So it's not worth it.
Even if it's written, even though it's written out?
Yeah, you get an argument. I mean, you do it and you realize a cleaning person in there went in with a razor blade, had a burr on, scratches the glass all up, and they turn around and say, oh, I got a lifetime warranty. I need to replace the glass.
Well, my warranty states that in there. If it has any, like, scratches or breaks, I don't warranty that. It says it right there in it. So
I'm just trying. What are you warranting? Leakage?
Leakage, hardware, if it discolors, if it, you know, goes bad, stuff like that. But if it scratches, breaks, that's on them. But as far as leaking, silicone discoloring, stuff like that, just a workmanship warranty, lifetime.
So you're warranting siliconing, turning color?
I'm considering it. I have not really pulled the trigger
yet. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No, because they don't keep the showers clean.
No, and they use chemicals on it, and it's not bacteria. It's actually a chemical reaction that makes the caulking turn color, and that's not your fault.
I'm working on my terms on it, and it does state that in there, that if they use cleaners or anything like that, or we get mold, that's not silicone. That's, you know, the cleaner or, you know, being dirty. I know it's kind of great.
You're opening yourself up to a he said thing, Adrian.
Yeah, you can't prove it. You can't prove they're using chemicals or they're not using chemicals.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So you're in an argument.
Yeah. Right.
So you're going to end up eating it anyhow.
Yeah, you're right.
Going to eat it anyhow. I mean,
you can't warranty the finish because there again. What are they cleaning it with, you know?
Right. Yeah. They're using Tilex and it's eaten right through. It's an acid.
Yeah.
I had a woman who told me she was not using any cleaners at all. And her glass was damaged in about 14 months. And I went out to take a look at everything. And sure enough, the glass is just pock marks. I mean, you know, water marks all over it. And seemingly everything looked kind of normal, but then I got a light and started looking and realized that even the hardware, the plumbing fixtures had chemical corrosion. And she had, oh my gosh, probably 30 different kinds of shampoos and soaps and stuff in that shower. Well, she flat out told me they don't use any chemicals to clean with. And sure enough, within all these bottles of shampoo was Tilex. And it was nearly empty. You know, they've been using this Tilex, which I think is acetic. You know, they're probably putting that all over. And the other point I'll make is that they were on a well, you know, so they probably had in our neck of the woods, we have acidic water. So they probably are using an acid neutralizer, which is pumping in all that calcium and, you know, limestone into the water to neutralize it, which that's where all the problems began. And then they used chemicals to rectify it. It was just, they trashed it fast. But buyers can be liars. They'll tell you whatever they want to tell you. You can't take it at face value.
Happens all the time. You're absolutely right, Brett. You're absolutely right. I just caution you, Adrian. It sounds good. I've gone down this road so many times thinking about changing it. And I mean, we got to the point where we took all the Riot Act that we had on the back of the contracts and crossed it off. It says everything's covered because you're going to get in arguments anyhow. So why even start listing stuff? Because you can list a whole list of exceptions. They're not going to read it. They're going to sign the paperwork. And then you say, hey, I showed you, you signed it. They're still going to argue with you.
Yeah.
And when they call, a lot of times, you know, they say, you know, I've got a problem with a water leak or whatever. And I explain to them, you know, we normally don't warranty the silicone if it has, well, let's say not a water leak. It's if they have mildew under the silicone. I'll tell them up front that, you know, we're reasonable. We will take care of it under warranty if it's truly something we didn't do well, you know, or we could have done better. But I do go in and explain if they have a stone tile like travertine or granite or marble, you know, things like that, I don't warranty silicone unless we did a poor job of siliconing and there's a void and water gets under that silicone from that. Mm-hmm. You know, silicones don't adhere to stone very well. Even neutral cure, it does a better job than acetic cure, but you have to maintain it regularly. When I say that, I would say every 2 or 3 years, probably needs to be re-siliconed. I've re-siliconed mine in my house. I have travertine. I've re-siliconed it, I think, 3 times in almost 9 years. So,
have you run across a situation with effervescence? Are you familiar with that term?
Is that from the silicone turning milky?
It's more evident where the tile looks like it's giving off a lime deposit, like white flaking, white powder. And then your silicone doesn't attach anymore.
Okay.
And so what that is the moisture from the framing underneath the threshold leaching through, and the lime in there is coming through.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Sure.
And you'll see a definite line right underneath your door. And they'll say it's your fault. Mm-hmm. And the stone wasn't sealed properly to stop the moisture from wicking through. And it's actually sucking the lime right out of the stone and leaving a white trail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one where you get calls and say, hey, you guys didn't do a good job, or your silicone's not grabbing to the stone. No, it's now, not. It's actually coming off.
I'm assuming you're using neutral cure on stone?
Yep.
Okay. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
We use that on everything. I just like that. It's once you get used to working with it, it really sticks to everything better, in my opinion.
It does. But if the stone is leaching, with that effervescence coming in, everything is coming up. So even what it's attaching to is actually coming up, and you're not going to have the bond that you need. But you're going to see all the white.
I'm very clear in all my communications. When we're in the selling process and in our paperwork, I'm very clear to the homeowners that we don't warranty silicone on stone. Mm-hmm. We just can't. And I go through the litany of why. You know, if they use sealers, sometimes I don't feel like the silicone adheres real well to the sealers, but then you have to have the sealers. If you don't, you know, then the stone gets moist and you have the problem that Bill's describing, you know, and it's going to be moisture underneath that silicone. It doesn't dissipate. It gets black. And it's a problem. I think I've been fortunate with mine at home, but it's still, you know, man-made products are the best, whether it's a cultured marble or porcelain, ceramics, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's go back to that discounting question that Adrian had, though.
Sure.
I think if we concentrate more on being a company that people want to do business with, you're going to take a lot of that discounting right off the table. You know, if you're promoting yourself as the company that people want to go to for a number of reasons, you're a trusted person, you've got high Google reviews, you've got a great reputation, all of those. I mean, I do it myself. I get people in my home to buy. I don't quibble. I just will find the best contractors and I'll pay them their price and I won't ask for a discount. And I think that's what we need to do if we're continuing to raise the bar in the industry, is show the value of what we do. You don't need to discount your price, because if they're comparing you to some Yahoo, basically you're pricing the same as that Yahoo. And that's not fair to you. Not at all. I mean, you don't go to your doctor and you ask him the discount his price. You don't go to a fine restaurant and ask him to discount it down to a Subway price or a McDonald's price.
I did that one time.
But they feel that they can do it with contractors.
I did that
Hey, Bill, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I actually agree with it. But let me just play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
If you've had a lifelong you've had a long-term relationship with a contractor who's pumping you several doors a week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not give that any more weight than somebody who's a one-off?
I give them the better service. We jump when they call. Mm-hmm. I have trucks waiting. You know, Mike, it's taken a while to get to this point. I'm giving you my perspective after we built to the point where I have extra people where I can fill in those jobs or am not afraid to pay overtime for service. But when that contractor is pumping you, the contractor is making a good amount of money on the house. He needs it done. He needs it done timely. And quite honestly, that's more important to him, to get it done right and to get it done on time. Jump when he calls. And yes, we pay a lot of credence to that. That's why you keep customers for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And that's probably why you get the customers that they used to go somewhere else, because that guy can't give them that type of service.
You're providing value added. It may not be in price, but it's in all the other things that are just as important to them than price. Yeah.
Yep. They got a warranty thing. We're on the schedule the same day or the next day to take care of it, not 4 weeks out. Mm-hmm. Then have to call somebody to go meet us and ruin everybody's day.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done right away.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a huge value to that. And they do respect that.
Yeah. We keep kind of a narrow window for our price. In other words, we don't have a wide price differential. So, you know, I do have a tendency. I think my price is on the high side of our market. I really do. I did that. I mean, when I first started out, you have to start out somehow, right? And, you know, I had to be pretty competitive. I did start out with a website. But, you know, you don't have a lot of reviews and you don't have a lot of, you know, things to back you up. And so, you know, I started out being kind of a discounter. I was one of the lesser expensive. And, when I started to expand and then have to advertise, you know, we used the Home Mag and, Home and Decor magazine to advertise in, and they always want you to put in some kind of a promo. And, so we have a promo. If it's a order over $1,500, we'll do $100 discount. these days it's easy. I mean, our average order's $2,000 probably. And so they hit that mark pretty easily. I guess I felt like I had to just start adding that into every shower door so that if I give them a discount, then I've got that built into that, you know. And I don't normally start off with a discount when I'm quoting, unless it's just a particular circumstance. It could be a friend or whatever, you know. We do for contract. See, we're mostly retail, but the contractors we do work with, we have a flat 5% off, basically off our list price. And that's how it works with them. With the homeowner, if they bring the coupon or whatever, they get the coupon value. But I have that coupon value in my back pocket in case I feel like I need a discount some way, somehow. If it's something pretty far away, I take the list price and I actually add some time to that or some cost for the trip. So that's about the way I do it.
Yeah, very interesting. Initially we were, the question was really kind of about like quantity discount. So if you're going to a job with multiple showers, are you going to change your price?
Yes.
Based on that?
I do.
I guess define multiple, Chris. I mean, is it three? Five?
Yeah, three. Let's 10? Say three. Let's say three.
I don't.
Yeah, see, we don't either. So we've got a calculation for what it costs to do a shower enclosure. And each particular one, no, it's a formula. I mean, estimating a shower door, as you all know, is like probably the biggest challenge in the business, right? Getting that price right. Not too high, not too low, right? You got to make money, and people have to buy. It's one component, you know. There are a lot of other things, but whenever I have a customer ask me, "How did you come to that price?" And it doesn't happen very often, but from now and then, people will ask me, "How did you come to that price?" And I just tell them, "Look, that's a very complicated thing that took me a long time. And I can't really divulge my formula, you know, for how to estimate. It's a big deal. Being able to do that right is super important." So when we price something, any enclosure, we're taking all things into consideration. So that price is the same no matter what, because that price has to make up for the time, like Bill's describing, where you send two crews out to a job and they can't even work, and you have to scramble to figure out where to put them. Mm-hmm. You know, that costs money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Or, you know, glass breaks, right? Glass scratches. There's go backs. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, some of us have more than others, you know, but I mean, you're gonna have some. And you got to figure all of that in. So when it may feel like, oh man, we're making a killing on this job because there's eight showers on this one job, and we can really pick up some speed because we can go there, we can spread all of our materials, we can lay everything out, we can really do this assembly line style. And man, we're really killing it on this job. Yeah, you need to do that from time to time in order to make the whole thing work. Because you're going to have jobs like that go south, and you're going to be scrambling. I mean, this is just my opinion. Don't feel like I'm scolding you. Don't do it this way. But really, I mean, to me, it makes so much more sense to factor all of those things in and charge the same thing every time. Because how else are you going to know? I mean, how else can you, like, at the end of the year, look back and go, are we charging enough? Well, we charge this guy 100%. We charge this guy, you know, 85%. Charge that guy 110%. You know, and are you going to go through every job and figure out who you discounted and what, you know, that, I mean, it's hard enough to keep track of, you know, in my opinion. That consistency, I think, is really, really important for just keeping track of things. There's somebody here in the chat room says, eight showers with 16 trips to complete. Can happen.
In one house?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Ask, was it a discounted job?
Well, David Sisk in the chat. Yeah. Hey, David, was that a discounted job?
Yep. Multiple showers in the same house.
And it was discounted, right?
Let me find out. I'll get back to you on that. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's different ways, you know, there's different ways to skin a cat, right? But, and it's different, like, when you're starting out. Like Bill was saying, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, it's taken a while to get to where he's at, you know? I mean, like, the, you know, day one or year one, I mean, he might have had a completely different opinion. Am I right, Bill?
It was totally different. Totally different. So I'm not really a fair one to ask because I've gone through that. But I know exactly where you're all coming from for that because I've been there. And there's times that we did discount. We did. But once you discount, that guy knows you as a discounter. He's going to look at it for every single job. It's just like, it, you know, enabling your kids. You open up to give them something and the door's wide open now and they keep coming back to that open door.
Yep.
It's the same thing. You get to be known as the discounter.
Yeah, that guy David says yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Case in point right there. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, David.
And I mean, and I could totally see that. I mean, that I'm pretty sure that's happened to me where it's like, it seems like, you know, you give the discount and then that's the job. That's the job that, like, you have problems in.
Think of it this way. It's eight showers in one house. Okay, so the guy's not hurting for money. He didn't really need a discount. And out of those eight, how many of them are specialty hardware that's out of stock? They want the bright brush bronze or they want an antique something you don't have. Supplier doesn't have it. You're going back, and that's why the jobs aren't completed. You've just wasted all of it, and it's specialty stuff.
I swear that when you try to discount on those big jobs because you think you're going to gain efficiencies, at least in my personal experience, that's when I have been bit in the rear end. We did a hotel job with 98 doors and they wanted to buy their own doors and have us do install. I did the math. You know, I normally wouldn't do it, but we went and we did it for labor. And I thought, okay. And he took my number. What he failed to agree on was that all the doors were in the basement stacked up in a big pile and we had to transport them up to the room. Well, guess what? There went your efficiency. You lost your ass half the day transporting shower doors. I thought I'll never, ever do this again. You know, you'll take my whatever it was per door. And if you don't like it, then I'll just walk away and look for an opportunity that's profitable. But
yeah.
Yeah. We had a hotel once that wanted that. And I looked at it and said, I'll do it, but you bring all those doors up to every floor in front of every room and I'll do it.
Yeah. You know. Amen, Tim.
Yeah, and then they chip them because they don't know how to handle them. I've seen guys do that. And they don't put either carpet or cardboard down. Some of them are putting it directly on stone. I go, oh, my God. Because all they did was hire or take their laborer guy that goes around and cleans up the site and say, here, for the next 2 hours, start carting glass up.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And then it comes back to bite you that it's scratched or chipped. And it was done by them. But, you know, it's just not worth it, man. It's not.
Not at all.
They don't even know if they're going to fit.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was early on, I was doing... you know, installing customer supplied shower doors. And I had a contractor that I did work for. And he was like, hey, I got this shower door. Will you put it in? I'm like, yeah, you know, I wasn't very busy. I was hungry, you know. So I went to put in a shower door. It was like one of these Chinese shower doors. And it had like the cardboard, big old cardboard thing with like plastic and all the parts, you know. And there were like a million parts, man. You know, I'm like, oh, part A, part II, part 1B, you know, and it's like, and they're all just like really crappy and cheap and like, so, and there's no extras of any. And then all you have to do is like strip out one of those screws, one of those specialty parts. Cause you know how these, you know, these guys, these engineers, you know, from overseas, I mean, everything's way over engineered. You know, there's like five times as many parts as you need. That's how they make their living, you know, by making their products, you know, have more parts in them. So that they've got a job, just keep designing more parts. Oh, dude, that was the last time I ever did that. It was like, it was so brutal.
I'll never forget that one.
Oh, can't hear you. Say that again.
She's over here telling.
Are you telling stories over there? Come on.
No, I had it off mute. I was going to ask you a question, but then she started talking. She was reminding us of a Love It or List It had bought some, or Kohler donated a bunch of doors like that for an episode that we did. And it was a nightmare also.
You've been there.
But I had a question. Did you guys, how about when you quote a job to a customer and then they come back with two other quotes and want to know the difference in pricing? There's $600, $800 difference in pricing. So how do you explain that one to them?
Depends if you're on the high end or the low end of that $600.
I'm always on the high end.
I don't know. I haven't run into that.
Yeah. I mean, I know what I say, but I was just curious if anybody else runs across that too.
Do you know, did they show you the name of the other company, and is it a legitimate company or is it a two men in a truck deal?
No, I'm sure most everybody around here is pretty legitimate. I think there's a couple of people that are just two men in a truck like myself. But
yeah. Well, when I say two men in a truck, I mean guys that just buy glass somewhere. They're not really glazers. Yeah. And just putting it in. I don't mean infer that, but
no, I know. What you mean.
I should have said, what did we talk about the other day? Wazoo glass.
I saw that.
That's what I meant. You know, are they legitimate quotes or just quotes from some guys that I can do it for that?
We run across, most of the time, a lot of these companies are using around here, using the $20 hinge, the U channel. They just want the cheapest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, and I don't want it to sound kind of arrogant, but the cost of the job is probably, it's not the last thing I'm concerned about, but it's pretty far down on the list. Mm-hmm. You know, quality materials, workmanship, you know, being able to keep my word, doing what I'm going to say I'm going to do, those things. More important to me than the price. But it's hard to explain that sometimes so that they understand that, you know, this hinge may last a little bit longer. Some of the things we do, like I replace all my screws with stainless steel screws. Some of those things the customer doesn't see. So,
right.
And what is the percentage of market that buys strictly on price?
Right. And then, okay, so that kind of gets back to what we were talking about before. You've got to get to the point where people want to do business with you and your company, right? Because then price is secondary. It's going to be quality and service.
Yeah.
Try and take price out of the equation. I mean, you got to be reasonable, of course, but you got to build your brand, so to speak, where people want to do business with you. And then it's just not about price. Just give them a fair price. As long as it's fair and reasonable, you'll be fine. If you keep to your standards of quality work, you'll do good. You'll do good.
Yeah.
600 is quite a bit of difference. So, you know, you have to make sure the layout is comparable. You know, if you're doing something like glass to glass hinges, the other company's not. Definitely, I sell based on using Sarah Lawrence or FHC hardware. It's, they're the people who have developed the industry and made this possible. And there's a lot of cheap Chinese stuff out there. I've literally seen hinges fail. So those are things I point out. And Bill's right. I mean, they have to want to do business with you. And I think a lot of times people, you know, we try to make sure they see our reviews. They look at our website and that sort of thing to help build value.
Now, is it a consistent thing where you're getting it like all the time? Like, oh, you know, multiple different customers, or is this just kind of like a one-off? Cause I mean, I've had that experience too. It was a couple months ago where we were quoted three very large bathrooms, and it was all Starfire ultra clear glass. And, you know, basically, you know, very tall showers. And then I send in my bid and he comes back to me that, oh yeah, you're, you know, $3,000 more than the other guy. And I'm like, well, you know, it's not like it was, I didn't go crazy. I actually kind of discounted a little bit just because based on the quantity, and I had some, you know, some cushion in there, and it just, sometimes they're a little bit outlandish and I'm like, okay, well, is it really, are we comparing apples to apples? But when, sometimes when they come at me with that big of a difference, like even, you know, $600-$800, it's, to me, sometimes, okay, is it worth wasting the, you know, wasting the time going back and trying to explain, okay, well, this is, you know, the reason why. But I don't know, sometimes if they're just outlandish like that and just nickel and diming you for everything, it's, to me, it's not worth it.
Yeah. I guess I got a question. Why are they calling you if you're that high and it's bothering them that much? Why are they calling you back?
You know, it's interesting because usually it happens more than once in a blue moon. So it'll happen two or three times, maybe a month, that I get that. But I've noticed that if they're calling me back, asking me that, I can start to work with them, explain a few things and sell that job to them. It's the ones that don't call me back that I know. And we lose a lot of jobs. We don't win every single job. And that's
you shouldn't win every job. No. If you're winning every job, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. That's too much. Yeah, that's exactly right. Although you should have a pretty good percentage. I mean, are you keeping track of it? And what do you consider losing a job from the time of the phone call and you don't sell it, or from the time you actually go out and measure and give an estimate?
So we do, we're just a small family. You know that, Bill. And so what we do is we'll get quote requests from Google or the website. And as long as they provide me with some measurements, we'll do it all via email. We'll make choices via email. And then if they like the price, then we go out and make final measurements. But once we give the quote, most of the time, and I recommend people get two or three other quotes, you know, feel comfortable with whoever you want to do business with. And that's when they'll call me back. They'll get a few more quotes and they'll ask me, you know, what the difference in price is. Why am I higher? Or why are they this and I'm not that? Or
right.
I try to explain them to, but once we quote, I've noticed there here recently too, like this is the first time in 10 years that I've noticed this, is that a lot of these guys are just totally ghosting us. We just had a job with three or four showers in the house. I thought we did her right on pricing, but completely ghosted us.
Interesting. So, some of that's out of your control though. Again, we've talked about this, you know, the tile guys come in and all of a sudden they know somebody and they say, oh, just use this guy. And you're out of the picture no matter what you do.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen him on the other jobs. He does a great job. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they're getting paid from the other guy to push it. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up over that. I'd be more concerned the ones you're going out, you're measuring, you're giving prices to, and then they ghost you. Like that one, that's unusual.
But yeah,
I don't think that's going to be the rule. That's, you know, that's not the norm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but it seems like the past 2 months have been a really bizarre selling type thing where it was just all over the place. I couldn't put my finger on anything. You know, even with that lady, we went and met with her. We had a good conversation. We got along very good, and I was sure we had that job, but I guess not.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Do you so you're kind of pre-bidding the job before you go out?
We pre-quote everything, yeah.
Right? So yeah. Are you charging a fee for an on-site consultation?
No. And there's usually very few that I would feel like. Some jobs, when I look at a picture that they send us, I require they'll send me a picture of the area. If there's something I see in there where I just can't make it out, or if something will work, then I'll take a trip out there and take a look at everything, make sure there's no problems, and it gives me an opportunity to meet the person. But I don't charge for any of that, no. Even though I suppose we should.
Well, you could. I don't know if you should. I mean, it's you know, there's a million ways, right? But I mean, we do. We provide an online quote, you know, a remote quote. So send us a photo, send us some sizes, send you a quote. We get them really, really close. I mean, in fact, unless there's something unforeseen, I can do it for exactly what we quote. It's pretty much
every time. Us too.
But I will tell them, hey, it's like we've got an on-site fee. So it's like we're providing this free quote, you know, for your convenience to see if our pricing is there. Because if you've given them a price and they're saying, okay, yeah, come and measure, really, they've kind of given you the job. I mean, they've kind of indicated that you've got it. And it's really not fair. I mean, you've already given them a price. Why are they having you come out? Yeah. I mean, unless you go out and then you're a jerk like me, you know, they just don't want to do business with you. You know? I can understand.
You don't go out unless they're in because it's possible.
I think it's completely reasonable once you've already given them an estimate remotely to say, hey, yeah, we'll come out and measure, you know, we're going to measure no matter what. If you go with us, it's included. But if we come out and you decide to go in another direction, I mean, you need to compensate us for it. I think that's completely reasonable.
Good luck getting that money though.
Sometimes.
Well, no, I mean, we have no trouble. I mean, it rarely happens. I mean, we rarely have to collect because we almost always get it at that point. I mean, because why are they calling you out? You've already given them the price.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're calling you out to measure, and then they're not going with you. Why? You know? So I've had like the one or two over the years that like I just couldn't collect the fee from them. And I just, you know, I write it off, you know, eventually, but because it becomes, you know, how much work are you gonna do to try to collect for the money that they
$100, yeah.
Right, you know, whatever it is. So but that's just something to think about, you know.
Yeah. Usually the only thing that I can't see from a photo is like a severe belly in the wall or a convex, mm-hmm. where you could try to minimize it with like a K cut or something, but yeah. And that's our fabricators charge extra for that.
Right. Mm. Yeah. And that's another thing you can kind of factor in to your overall price, right? It's kind of getting back to like what we're talking about, having pricing that's taking into consideration the occasional piece of glass that breaks, the occasional go back, the occasional whatever. That, you know, all needs to be figured into your price. If you're going to be going out to measure things to jobs that you're not going to get, or you're not even going to be compensated for the time you spent going out there, that's something you need to be figuring out. You need to be dividing that up over the course of, you know, whatever, a year, however many shower doors you do, and adding $5 onto your price of every shower to compensate for, you know, the problems that you have. things you don't get paid for, or money that you lose because of materials getting damaged or whatever. I mean, all that thing. It's all, it's really, honestly, it's overhead, right? I mean, you know, it's like the glass that you sell successfully, that's cost of goods sold, right? But the glass that you don't sell successfully, that's overhead. Breakage, you know, things that you can't, that you don't, you can't sell. So, I mean, that's, you know, we all have to be figuring that into our pricing. Okay, what's next?
So that brings up a good point as far as charging, because we've been considering it. All most of the guys in town, like our competition, they all charge, you know, $50 for on-site appointments. For the guys that are, you know, charging for the appointments, do you guys charge that up front, or do you guys just charge that if you don't get the job?
If I don't get the job. So the agreement is, look, we've got a fee. If you decide to go in another direction. So this is how we say it. Hey, before we go any further, I just want to let you know that we do have an on-site consultation fee in case you decide to go in another direction. Now, if you go with us, there's no charge. It's all part of the price. But if you do, we know we expect to be compensated for our time. We've already given you a quote. And almost always people are good with that. You know, I mean, sometimes people are mad, but it's maybe one out of 20, one out of 30. I mean, it's pretty rare.
Do you still charge for customers that live in your town or your area?
Yes.
Or is that outside? Really? Yes.
Everybody except for existing customers. So now if you've done business with us before, that gets waived. Okay, so it's like if it's another job, if it's a contractor, if it's the first time we're doing business with a contractor, that's the deal. We do a job successfully, and then he calls us again, that's waived. We don't even bring it up. So it's just a first-time customer, on-site consultation fee. And that's where, I mean, to me, with an expert, even if they don't go with you, to get your expert opinion in their home, that's worth some.
It really came about for situations where you measure and bid for $2,001 to the penny on a virtual quote, and then you go on site, they say yes, and you go on site, and then after you're done, and you answer everything you answered virtually, they say, okay, we're going to get some other bids. That's after having that happen a few times, it was very easy for us to say, there's really no difference in what we did on site versus then you could have waited on us. So because of that, we're going to charge a fee. But if you decide to go with us in 3 weeks, that fee will be applied to your $2,001 total. So you're still going to get compensation for choosing us whenever you choose, but for intentionally wasting our time, we won't let that slide.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that. I'm gonna try doing this.
Is this only for jobs that you're quoting beforehand and then going out?
Yes, that's all of our jobs. We do all of our jobs that way. Unless, I mean, we have had the option. It's like, hey, if you'd rather just skip the online thing, have us come straight out, we will. But it's still, there's the fee. But that's only if you don't go with us. If you go with us, that's, you know, it's included. It's all part of the deal.
Okay. And you're not charging it up front?
No, we don't charge it up front. Probably should, probably could. But that's a bridge too far for me. It's like, and like I say, there have been a couple customers over the years that I haven't been able to collect it from. You know, they promised to pay it, and then they broke their promise and didn't pay it. And, you know, I'm not going to break their kneecaps.
Probably. I just had two recent experiences where one was an appliance repair company that came out. It was $50. And they told you up front on the phone. And he wasn't leaving until he got his money, and the other was a chimney repair place. And when they came out, because they had to, it's a two-story house, they had to climb up on the roof, make a template to be able to quote me. It was $150, and they did not leave here until they got paid. And it was no him hauling around. It was just, this is how we do business. If you want us to move forward, you're paying, period. There's black and white, basically.
It's work, you know? I mean, it's work. You get paid for that. I mean, come on, you know, everybody knows how this works. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because the guy down the street is, you know, is a sucker doesn't mean the rest of us need to be. And that's why I hear that, you know, that's the thing when that one person out of 20 or 30 is like, oh, well, you know, these other guys will come, you know, for free. And it's like, okay, yeah. Can't argue with that. But like Bill says, I mean, you build up a reputation as being the guy, right? Oh, yeah, this is the guy you want to do your shower work. You know, that's who you want to be. And it's hard to be that, become that guy. You know, if you're like scrambling for tidbits, you know, with all the other guys on the floor under the table, you know, it's like you're extending yourself a little bit by saying, no, we're different. We don't do it that way. Yeah, I understand other people do it that way. That's not us. We're like the quality. When people ask me for a discount, you know what I tell them? We're not a discount shower door. Do you want a discount shower door?
I like that one.
Yeah, that's not what we do. You know, we're not that guy. Sorry. Maybe we're not the right. A lot of times I'll be at the close of a deal with someone and I'll say, you know what? I don't think we're the right ones for you. I don't think we're the right company for you. And a lot of times they're like, whoa, wait a minute. You hang the carrot out, you know, and you start to take the carrot away. And they're like leaning in for the carrot. You know, it's a dance.
You hit the nail on the head, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Some people just want to ask just for the sake of asking. Well, yeah. And you gave them a great answer, professional. You didn't harm them. Matter of fact, you were the one willing to walk away and not them, and you gave me option, and they just caved. It was perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. We just might not be the right fit for you.
Yeah, you know.
I tell you, over the last couple of years, I've had more people ask if we do a military discount.
Sure.
Have you been getting any of that?
No.
We get it quite, you know, every other, I mean, at least three times a month or so. We just say, hey, $50. I mean, it's not really going to kill me. And at least it shows something, I guess. I don't know.
You have a lot of military in your area or something?
Well, there's a couple there. We've got a naval base here.
Okay.
Air base. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Austin, we offer it and honor it.
Yeah. There's military, there's first responders, there's medical discounts. I mean, it can go on and on. Seniors.
I charge double for senior.
For the guys that, you know, that work at AutoZone, yeah, they get a $10 discount.
Because I know it's going to take a long time for them to get to the front door.
Can happen. Yeah. Say everything twice.
But then they're going to hit you with the AAA discount. I have my AAA card, my Costco card.
Bill, do you do discounts for first responders and military?
In a different way, yeah. Not off the price. We have functions that they get invited to, and we put on functions for them. Like, a great example, on Monday, I've got a suite at the Twins spring training, and I've got 32 veterans. Matter of fact, I got their tickets right here for Monday, and we're serving them. So whatever food they want, whatever drink they want, we serve them. So yeah. we put on functions for sometimes first responders. This time it's veterans.
We treat our military people pretty well. I'll throw in, since we do our own coding in-house, I'll throw that in and that no charge for them.
Yeah.
They've done so much for us. They they deserve the shower for free, but I won't do that. But I'll give them something.
As long as it's legitimate military, and it's hard to find out the question. It's really tough when you got to question somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
You can tell off the back of the mid-military because the way they are, the way they hold themselves out there.
Yes. Yes.
You can tell.
And you can also tell the ones that are the stolen valor ones, right?
That and by the haircut.
They just want to take it from everything.
Show me your dog tags.
Yeah, the most recent one we had was there was a lady. She's like, "Oh, do you guys offer a military discount?" I'm like, "Yeah, we offer $50 discount." And then she's like, "Oh, okay, because my son is in the military." I'm like, "Well,
I know a guy who's in the military."
Yeah, I was like, "Well, that doesn't really count, but okay."
Oh man, that's
good stuff. By the way, no luxury brand ever gives you discount. If you go to any luxury store, they don't give you any discount. No, it doesn't matter if it is Christmas. They may give you a nice bowl, but that's about it.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Love it. Good answer. Good answer. I think that's a good place to end it. Be a luxury brand.
Be the luxury brand. Be the
brand. I love it, man. All right, everybody. Have a great week. See you next Wednesday.
See you.
All right. See you guys.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.